Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 92. Had about four lessons, teaching, messages to preach, and prayed over them, and this is the one the Lord wants me to teach for whatever reason. I know I need it, and God is in process of working in my life and some things with it, and hopefully in yours as well. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many people have gone through a trial this week? Maybe you're going through one. We know our pastor is. We know by the prayer requests that people are going through trials. You may have just come out of one, but I will guarantee you, you will enter another one. And that's the way life is. And in Psalm 92, let's have a word of prayer if we could, please. Our Heavenly Father, we again thankful for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. And Lord, we just take this time and we ask that you'd speak to our hearts from the Word of God, that you would accomplish your perfect will in all things. Lord, you know everyone's heart here. You know everyone's situation that's here and that's listening. And we ask that you just accomplish and do great and mighty things. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, honor, and glory for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 92, verse 1, it says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." I want to talk about gratitude. You know, we live in an unthankful world. I deal with a lot of people on any given day. And what I see with this generation coming up, they're unthankful. They're ungrateful. They think they're owed everything, and they expect everything. But as a child of God, gratitude, another word for gratitude, means appreciation, gratefulness, thankfulness. And we as Christians need to have a thankful heart. And you say, well, that's pretty easy. But what I want to look at tonight is gratitude in light of adversity. That's the other side of it. Adversity, I like the meanings of words, and it says this: it's a state or instance of serious or continual difficulty. We've all faced it. You may be going through it. Some for a long, long time. Connie's cousin, she just passed away Saturday morning. We got a phone call. And most of her adult life, she has been very, 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 very sick with cancer and all kinds of things. Her whole adult life is just nothing but sickness, almost blind. But that's the way life is. The Bible says in Psalm 95 and verse 2, "Let us come before him in his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms." Psalm 103 verse 1 and 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." It's easy to bless the Lord when things are going great. But you know what? We all have problems. We all have trials. Things all come into our lives. Some just for a moment. Some may carry the rest of your life. But having a spirit of gratitude for a child of God is very important for this reason. Because it gives us the ability to prepare us to handle adversity, difficult and trying situations, and helps us to build contentment, hope, and peace that God wants to give us. Why God does direct things into our lives, we sometimes will talk about that. We don't know, but God does. The longer you live, the more opportunity you're going to have heartaches, disappointments, and regrets. That's something to look forward to. But you know what? That's the truth. And having a spirit of thankfulness, you can say, oh, I'm very, 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 very thankful. It doesn't mean that you'll never have those trying times, those discouraging times. When adversity comes, rarely do we greet it with a smile and rejoicing. Don't want you to raise your hand, but the last adversity, or maybe you're in something, you didn't say, praise God, glory to hallelujah. Now that's what God wants us to do, but that is not natural to do. But when those things come, we need to look past the trial, past the adversity, to the one who knows and understands not only us, but our situation. And with us realizing that, it should bring great assurance that he is with us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, that he'll not tempt us above that which we are tempted, but will with the temptation make a way that we might escape, that we can bear it. God never places anything on you that you're not spiritually able to handle. It's a great and a loving God. It may seem the end of the world, but you know what? God knows us. He knows our frame. He knows where we're at. And he knows exactly what we need. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Can't figure God out. A lot of stuff we don't understand. We'll go to our grave not understanding many things. But God does. God purposes things in our lives to conform us and to mold us to the image of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. When you go through a tough time, it's hard to thank God. Just the opposite, and we'll talk about that as well. We want to ask God, what's going on? Why me? Why this? But in Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2, it's good that we declare God's goodness. Because when we do, it reveals to those that we have a thankful spirit around us. And also, it reveals in your own life that we're God-focused and not self-focused. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, he said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Paul went through a lot. I'd venture to say Paul has gone through more than all of us together will ever experience. But through it all, God comforted him. And in turn, he was able to comfort the churches that he ministered to. And as you and I go through things, hopefully we can give thanks. But looking that we can be a comfort to someone else down the road. David in Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3, very familiar psalm. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There's three things about that, that David had confidence in the Lord. One, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David didn't lack for anything. He said, God, you're my provider. He said he made me to lie down in green pastures and led him beside still waters. God was his comforter. He's your comforter. He's my comforter. And then he restores his soul. God restores the brokenness, the hurt. Job in 1 verse 20 and 22. And Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job had the right attitude. I'm redoing some study on attitudes. It was an area of my life that I struggle with. And it's just reassuring that, you know what? We got to have a right attitude when we're faced with things. Things don't always go as planned, do they? How many things went as you planned this week in your life? If you're like me, I'm looking forward to this week, and I got all kinds of things planned, but you know what? Something's not going to go right. Something's going to be a problem. Murphy's Law. It says if anything can go wrong, it probably will. So if we believe that, then we ought to anticipate that what I'm about to endeavor to go to do is probably going to be problems. And if I anticipate that, then I can prepare for it so that there's no excuses. We live in a world where we want to blame everybody else. James 1 and verse 2. Says, "Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." We must be aware that God knows and understands our situation. What pastor's going through, God understands completely. It didn't catch God by surprise. It caught pastor by surprise, but it didn't catch God by surprise. And I believe God has prepared him and everyone else in this room as you go through things. He's preparing you for when it comes. But God knows our situations. And it's easy to get bitter. It's easy to get mad. But I found it doesn't do any good. Because God knows and understands you and I and our situations and our circumstances, he's in the process of conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. And he knows exactly what Brother Sutherland needs this week to work on him and to mold him and bring him closer to the Lord. He knows exactly what he needs to do in your life and my life. He's a sovereign God. You say, "Well, why did this happen to me?" He's a sovereign God. He allowed it. But yet we get bitter. We get upset. We get angry. But you know what? We always have a choice in the matter. Everything that's going to come your way that you're in right now, you have a choice how to respond. Asking God why is okay. I do that a lot. I don't know about you. Why, God? Usually he never answers me. He's not obligated to tell you why. As I said that, God spoke to my heart one day and I says, "Why, God?" And he says, "Why not you?" We can ask God and question God why we go through things. But what God told me is, "Why not you? Why are you special? Why don't you need it?" But I still ask him why. And hopefully, when sometimes we ask, he tells us why eventually. But if nothing else, it's 'cause who you are. Sometimes we already know the reason. Could be chastisement. There could be things in your life that no one else knows. and something happens, and you might clearly know why. No, you don't maybe tell anybody anything. But it's a chastise. You say, okay, God's chastising me. That could be. But you know what? We live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a wicked world where sin abounds. Adversity, problems, it's just natural. Just because you're a child of God doesn't mean you're exempt from those things. And when those things come, we need to be honest about our circumstances. I don't know about you, but I can speak to me. When things come in our lives, we want God to fix it right now. See, I'm convinced we all live in a little, we've built a little box. I was telling somebody the other day, we were talking, and I said, I'm in my world, don't bother me. Right. You know what, we're in our world. Right. We've put up things, and we've done things, and we're in our own world. And boy, when something transgresses into that area, we don't like it. God says, I need to break some walls down. So you know what? I'm going to send some adversity. We don't like it. We want God to change it. Get rid of it. But he doesn't always do that. The right question to ask is, God, change me. You may have a sickness that God will never take away. And you can be upset about it, and you can be mad about it, and you can be bitter about it because God won't seemingly do anything the rest of your life. And there probably are Christians like that are full of bitterness and anger and mad at God. Have you ever gotten mad at God? If you're honest, the answer is yes. But the question is that, God, don't take it away. Change me. What if your situation never changes? Is it always going to cause you to lose your peace, lose your joy, lose your walk with the Lord? Because some things may never change. There's things in your life that may be there till the day you die. So the question is not, God, get it out of my life because it makes me uncomfortable. I don't like it. You've transgressed into my world. But God, change me. And you know what? When God does that, it's an amazing thing. See, that's the right answer. The wrong answer is, get it out of my life. I don't want to be bothered by it. The right answer is, God, change me. You see, we need to view our situations from God's perspective. We view everything from what's around us, what we're going through. We need to look from God's perspective to see exactly why and what's going on. You know, we can memorize all kinds of verses on Thanksgiving and thankfulness and gratitude, and that's great. But you know what? Memorizing is one thing. Practicing is another. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18 says this: in everything, give thanks. Is there something in your life that you just can't give God thanks? Thank him for? If you say no, he may send something just to test you. But he says, in everything, give thanks. Ephesians 5 and verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Three things strike me in that verse. One is always. Giving thanks always. Not when it's convenient. Not when things are going well. Oh, it's easy to praise God when things are going well. Brother Tyler talked about that. a mountaintop. When you're on a mountaintop, you can expect a valley. But do we give God thanks in everything? We praise God when things are going good, when all the bills are paid. But when you don't have it, when you have a bill that's not paid, do you thank God for it? He said, in everything, giving thanks always. And then the last part of that is all things. Not just some things, but all things. When's the last time you prayed, you praised God and thanked Him for a problem that you have in your life? I want to praise Him for all the good things. Thank God for answered prayer. Thank God for this. When's the last time you say, God, I thank God for that sickness. I thank God for that problem. I thank You, Lord. There again, I don't believe God's just some God up there and just wants to dish things out to make our lives miserable. I've had that thought. I'll be honest. I have all kinds of wicked thoughts. I've said, well, God just wants to make my life miserable. No. He wants to conform me to the image of Christ. He wants me to learn to have gratitude, thankfulness in all things. God's desire is that we experience joy that comes from being able to give thanks in everything. Not be filled with bitterness, anger, resentment. There's no doubt a lot of people that are angry with God tonight. There's a lot of Christians that probably are angry with God about something that's gone wrong in their lives. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. There is blessing in gratitude and being thankful. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built upon Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says, In everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer is more than just giving God a list of requests, things that we want Him to take care of and answer. But it's communicating with Him with thanksgiving. That's what Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says. You know, in prayer, that it's the thing, acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then supplication. We go to God in prayer, we're ready to just give out the list. God, I need this, I need that. We don't spend time praising Him. We don't spend time searching our hearts. We don't spend time thanking Him. Those of you that have children, drives you crazy is children that aren't thankful. People that aren't thankful. You've done things for people and they're not thankful at all. They think they're owed it. They think they deserve it. You don't like that. I don't like that. None of us would. You think God feels the same way? Prayer's about a relationship with God, communicating with God, talking to God. It's way deeper than just putting out my list of requests. Although He wants us to pray about things. But it's that time with Him, getting to know Him, growing in fellowship. God wants our lives to be characterized by gratefulness. And if it is, it should be evident in our lives by a couple of things. Number one, if gratefulness, thankfulness is in our lives and operating, it should be evident in worship. Psalm 95, verse 1 and 2. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. It ought to reflect it in our worship. It ought to reflect in our giving. 2 Corinthians 8, chapter 8 and chapter 9, there are several principles on giving. And one is that when we give for someone else's need, it's reciprocal, because at some point you're going to have a need that someone else gives and fulfills. But he says in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 12, "For the administration of this service to giving not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God." Paul says this, another area it ought to be evident if we have the right spirit of thanksgiving. In our relationships, Paul says in Philippians 1, verses 2 through 4, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy." If you read 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4, Paul basically says the same thing. Paul says out in almost every one of his epistles in the introduction that he thanked God for the saints and that they were always in his prayers. Ephesians 1, verse 16, Colossians 1 and verse 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, he thanked God for Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, and I already said that. Philemon, verse 4, he thanked God for Philemon. It was evident Paul had a thankful heart by the relationships and the people that he dealt with. It should be evident when we face spiritual battles. We're all going to face them. We're probably all in one right now. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 and 58. These are my favorite verses in the Bible. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The Lord expects gratitude. The Lord expects you and I to be thankful. We read the verse, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." God says in everything. We're going to gather Tuesday night and we'll give thanks and praise unto God for what he's done. But God says he expects us to have a spirit of gratitude, thankfulness. Thank him when the hard times come. Thank him when the things come that you and I, you can't figure out, you don't understand, and may never understand this side of heaven. But God says, thank me. Have a spirit of gratitude. I want to give you some things as we close. Why it's important to thank God. Number one, it keeps us aware of his presence. Keeps us aware of his presence. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers. They shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You see, we need to thank him that will ever keep his presence before us. David, in Psalm 23, we read that verse, those verses. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, he will never leave us nor forsake thee. He's always there. He's in the midst of your adversity right now. You may not feel his presence, but he's there, wanting you to turn to him with a spirit of thankfulness. The first thing, keep us aware of his presence. A second is this. It focuses us on Jesus Christ and not ourselves. We don't like to admit it. We're so self. We like ourselves. We're full of ourselves. But you know what? We have a spirit of gratitude. We focus on him. Our pride diminishes when we remember life is about him. It's all about Christ. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ and what he can do with us and how he can conform us to the image of Christ and be a witness and a testimony. As I said, we'll never understand the things that we go through. And there's people in this room that will go through things that some of us will never experience. Why that is, I don't know. But God does. God loves us so much. Yet we don't have a spirit of gratitude. Colossians 3 and verse 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. When we're focused on ourselves, we're not focused on him. When you focus yourself on him, you know what? Your adversity, your trial, your whatever you're going through, very small. Almost to the point you don't even realize you're in the midst of something. Why? Because we're focused on him. A third thing is this, why we should thank him and have gratitude to God. It drives us to look for his purposes in our circumstances. The Christian life is not a bowl of cherries. The Christian life, not everything goes well. There's probably a lot of people who know about salvation, who know they need to be saved, but maybe they see another child of God who's gone through a lot of adversity. They might say, I don't want any of that. But boy, when God's in the midst of all that, it's a testimony. Romans 8, verse 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. A fourth thing is this. Having a spirit of thanksgiving to him reminds us of his goodness, which leads to hope and submission to his will, even when we don't understand the reason for our circumstances. As I said, there's things you may never understand in this life. It doesn't make sense. To God it does. Because God, we're his child. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. God doesn't change. I'm thankful. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm glad God's not like me and you, because we change. I'm doing a study again, and one of the options is you can rise and shine or rise and whine. It's your choice. Tomorrow morning, you got a choice. But it's up to you. But I like this. It's in Lamentations 3, verse 22 through 24. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Think about that. It is of the Lord's mercies. If God were like us, sometimes we just want to be done with you. But you know what? God loves us so much. He's so long-suffering. When we fail and fail and fail and fail and fail and fail, you know what? He still loves us. It's omnibenevolent love. He loves us regardless. But it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. I'm thankful the Lord has more compassion than me. I don't know how you are in the compassion department. There's way more than God than I have. Why God? I don't understand why God puts up with me. You ever ask yourself that? Why God puts up with you? I don't understand it. And then he goes on to say, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. You know what? Tomorrow morning, it's reset. You're going to hit the reset button. God says his compassions are new every day. Starts all over tomorrow. But it's your choice how it ends. A fifth thing why we should thank him. Because it encourages us to continually to depend upon him. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That's why we should thank him. Let me give you a sixth thing. Reason why we should thank him. Thanking him replaces anxiety, just worry, with peace and joy. One of the studies I taught in Sunday school several years ago, I'm redoing that because I need to relive it. But it's a fact. Over 90% of the things you and I worry about, it's a proven scientific fact, never come to pass. Never come to pass. And yet you and I, we fret and we worry, which robs us of our peace, which robs us of our joy. They never come to pass. You probably can't remember all the things that you worried about 3 months ago. But that is a fact. Over 90% of the things you and I worry about, what you're worrying about right now, never come to pass. Yet we get all wrapped up in it. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, full of care. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's the first step. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You don't get rid of that until you give it to Him. And God says, give it to me. Because chances are there's nothing you and I can do to fix it. That's when things come in our lives, we want it out of our lives because it's an inconvenience. That's the way we are. That is an inconvenience, Lord. Why did you do it? Because you need it. And then we try to figure it out, and we try to work it out, and we do all those things. And in the end, you know what? We become frustrated. We become discouraged. We become angry. And then God says, why don't you just give it to me? And then we give it to God, and then an amazing thing happens. We start to experience peace. We start to experience joy. Doesn't mean the problem's gone away. You could be stuck with that problem the rest of your life. But do you want to be miserable, discouraged, or do you want to have peace and joy? What we should do is just give it to God immediately. When we give it to God immediately, you know what? The adversity, the problem goes on, but you know what? I got peace. I got joy. I've given it to the Lord. I don't understand it, but He does. He gave it. He allowed it in my life for a reason, for a purpose. Concluding, when we maintain an attitude of thanksgiving in both good and difficult seasons, our lives will have purpose and fulfillment. Most importantly, God will be glorified. What is the ultimate thing God wants? It's for Him to be glorified in your life, in my life. Through the trials, through the problems, through the things we don't understand, God says, it's about me. It's about Him, not about me. Gratitude in adversity. I wrote some things down, concluding. It removes self. By giving thanks, it allows me to focus on Him and not me. Not my situation, not my circumstance. I can focus on Him. It's a testimony to those around us of His goodness and care, especially the lost. You may work with a lot of lost people around. I know Randy does. I see lost people every day. Very, very seldom do I ever have a conversation with somebody saved. But you know what? When you and I go through those hard times and we give it to God and we thank Him, it's a testimony. Not only to other saints of God, but to lost people. Wow, how you dealing with that? Let me tell you. Another thought is this. It's an encouragement to others who might be going through the same thing, or maybe in the future. When you've come out of that trial, when you've come out of that testing on the other side, and you've come out victorious, you know what? When another saint of God starts to go through that, they can look to you and be encouraged. And lastly, God commands it and expects it. He said, in everything, give thanks. Not when it's convenient. Not when it's just good. In everything. That's what God wants us to learn. The spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving towards Him.